world famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. And here we are for another journey into the land of Truth Is Our Bitch. Woo! How about that?
Whatever. I think you can talk about truth.
Get close to the microphone, Margaret.
Yeah, get up close to the microphone. Shake hands with it.
Shake hands with what, the microphone?
Yeah.
Yeah, the last time a man said shake hands with it, Margaret...
What?
The last time a man said shake hands with it, Margaret, I was a young woman, and I was sitting in a parked car, and the young man had...
He'd done what?
What'd he do?
You idiots can't figure this out.
Well, I can't figure out... Okay, did it have something to do with sex?
Yeah, did it have to do with sex?
You know, I'm not comfortable talking about this with him.
Well, you brought it up.
No, he brought it up when he said shake hands with it.
He said shake hands with the microphone.
Yes, it involved sex, and it involved... I'm a lady, so...
We understand you're a lady.
So there's nothing I want to do on this program, but he unzipped his fly.
And then said shake hands with it.
Yes. Funny, huh? You know, I ought to know better.
Well, I mean, that is true. By the way, yesterday I got into a serious problem, and it was repeated by you on Facebook, that because I laughed at Mr. Beecham when he called in, that somehow I belong in hell?
Yes, as a matter of fact. Thank you for bringing that up. I posted something, ladies and gentlemen, on Facebook when Garrett Beecham called in, who was the author of The Smell of Love. And there were a lot of people who said, well, you know, Margaret, that's not so original because there's Smell the Glove and so on and so forth. I know that. This was based on The Look of Love.
Okay, but all those songs they're talking about are satires.
I know that. But Garrett Beecham's song was quite serious, and when the two of you and Bud, laughed at the line, it's the middle of the night, but you smell like a pastor in mourning, and you laughed and cackled like an ass.
Margaret.
No, that's exactly what you did with my friend on the phone. He hung up.
Okay, and by the way...
I'm not done yet, Phil. He hung up, and then you post on the homepage a pasture with goats...
What is a pasture? It's where farm animals go.
It's a beautiful... It may be where farm animals go. I don't know.
Yeah, gotta go farm animals.
He just hit the microphone.
Okay, Robert, be careful, all right?
Big deal. God, are you gonna squeal on the guy?
Squeal on him? Everyone saw it.
All right, so he hit the microphone.
When he does it, it's okay, but when I...
You know, we gotta get out of the... You know, I'm not trying to pick on you. I'm saying to you, and please allow me to finish what I'm saying... A pasture at dawn. I brought it up yesterday. I'll bring it up again. When I was a little kid, you know, I went to school. Turn that fan off, Bud, before I throw it out into the street.
Sorry.
You hear what I just said?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to take that fan, and when I see a truck coming down the street, I'm going to just lob it right out into the path of the truck. And there's plenty of trucks that have been going down the street lately because they're digging up the end of the street, whatever the hell they're doing.
But Bobby, put in all that fiber optic cable and stuff.
Fiber optic cable, it's about time.
Well, I don't know what they're doing, but in any event, that's what I'm going to do with that fan. And then we're going to put whatever we need to put in here. I'm not going to talk about Central Air. The audience is tired of me talking about it. They're probably right now saying, either get in an air conditioning unit, Hendry, or shut up! So thanks a lot with that. I got all kinds of email today from people saying, what a scumbag you must be, Hendry.
I don't believe that for a second. I said that you laughed at Garrett Beecham. He hung the phone up, then went about his business. I don't... He didn't really care. When I called him up, I said, are you all right? He said, but yes, why? Why wouldn't I be? And I said, well, Phil, laughing at the line, a pasture in the morning, and he said something along the lines of, your friends, he basically said what you say a lot, which is, I'm a volcano surrounded by ants.
Are you kidding me? That guy thinks he's all that good.
Compared to you, yes, he is, Bud.
I'm a volcano surrounded by ants, huh?
Yes, and that dismissive laugh of yours, Phil, you have to understand who the genius minds are.
All right, well, The Smell of Love is not a genius move, in my opinion.
It's not.
No, it's not.
This is a man that lost his olfactory sense when he had his head beat... I told you the story.
Something about how in a bar fight he had his head repeatedly beat into the floor. Is that it?
Yes.
and he somehow lost his sense of smell from that.
Well, what's... You don't have sympathy for that.
The guy got into a bar fight, and how old was he?
It wasn't too long ago.
How old was he?
He was in his 50s.
Here's a guy that gets into a bar fight...
You know, I knew you'd judge.
Hold on. Here's a guy that gets into a bar fight in his 50s. Excuse me, I just spit.
God, oh!
Man, I better go get some disinfectant, you know. Take it easy.
Well, it's a good thing you didn't spit in my direction. What are you guys staring at? Every time I say the word spit, it has to do with lubing...
I take it easy, everybody, all right? I didn't... We weren't staring at you. We were waiting for you to say something else.
Yeah, equally, you know, dirty.
It wasn't dirty.
Ow.
All right, look. I totally forget now.
Well, let me finish the thought.
No, I want to move on. I want to get off that ridiculous, other than the fact just to say, you know, I'm sorry, the smell of love's... Oh, I know what it was. The guy got into a bar fight in his 50s. Was he a songwriter before that?
No, he wasn't.
What did he do?
He worked for a cable company.
And then after he got his olfactory sense beaten out of him in a bar fight, he wrote The Smell of Love.
Yes, because he missed the smell... Well, it was his ex-wife, and he missed the smell.
I'm going to go out on a limb and ask, was it a very pleasant smell?
No, it was not. And I... See, that's why I didn't say anything, because I knew you guys would laugh. It was not a pleasant smell, but he missed that she might have smelled good.
I don't understand, Margaret, you know.
No, I know, because you don't want to understand. That's what makes this so frustrating.
No, it doesn't make it. Listen, I don't understand. A normal person wouldn't understand. The guy's a songwriter, a friend of yours. You're going to be doing some of his songs on Saturday night. The Smell of Love and Northwind Bob, you know.
No, listen to you butchering up a man's life's work. You know, if a blind man showed you something that he worked on his whole life...
I know, I'd lift my leg to it.
You got it.
This guy wrote The Smell of Love, North Wind Blow Bob's Love to Me, even though he's a dude.
A lot of men write from the perspective of...
All right, okay. And has, I guess, made a career out of this. And as a result of him making a career out of this, he's going... You know, Margaret's doing his music this Saturday night at the Kangaroo in Fontana, and it's going to be part of her Adult But Fun set. So that ought to be interesting, because it's songs about what? It's songs about sex.
They're fun songs.
Yeah, it's one here. G-Spot, do you need your bowl filled up?
G-Spot, do you want a drink of water is the name of the song. Don't carve it any worse than it already is.
All right, so that's very interesting, and thank you very much, Margaret, for that piece of information. We're looking forward to it.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, what are you talking about? You're talking about him getting his head beat in.
I don't want to talk anymore about this guy, Garrett Beecham, getting his head beat in, okay? God almighty, what a weird story that cat's got. Hi, I got my head beat in. I lost my sense of smell in a bar fight in my 50s, when most guys in their 50s at least know how to conduct themselves in regular company. This guy's still getting into bar fights, gets his head beat in, loses his sense of smell as the result, and goes out and writes this stupid song. I laughed at it. He hangs up and considers himself a volcano surrounded by ants.
Oh, man. Right there, Phil, that's the attitude right there that is going to hold you back for the rest of your life.
Yeah, that's it. No wonder I laughed. Come on.
That is pretty funny now that I'm thinking about it.
Oh, it took you that long to think about it, huh?
Yeah. See, I had to go to the bathroom.
Nobody's interested, bud, okay? All right, we're going to be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Twitter stock soars 73%. 73%, huh? Should you buy? No. Because it's going to be... coming back down. I got money that says it comes back down. It'll come back to Earth. It'll probably be worth a whole lot of money. It'll probably be something most of us can't afford in very short order, you know, so that if you were thinking of buying it, you won't be able to afford it. And who knows, man? This is a social media site, folks. What are social media sites going to look like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years from now? Or are you betting that Twitter will be right there in the thick of it, and they'll be there, you know, inventing new and different ways to socially mediate each other? We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. All All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Jack Gagner is going to join us on our newsmaker line here in a moment to talk about Richie Incognito.
Not this guy again.
Yes, because he happens to be a big part of the news, too, Margaret. Not just Garrett Beecham and blow Bob's love to me.
Yeah.
Oh, give me a break.
Yeah.
I'm not making a big issue out of that.
No, but I mean, you did post that thing that I belong in hell. I know you were kidding. All right,
Well, I was kidding, but I wasn't. I didn't mean it maliciously. I would like to see you. It isn't that I don't want to see you go to hell. I would, but only for a short time and only for my amusement, and then later on, except for him.
You want to see me burn in hell forever?
Yes, Bud, I do, because you deserve it. Because of the things you've done. Because of who you are. No, I don't.
Yeah, I'm glad you took that back, because we would be talking about that ad nauseum. That would become the new big point on the show, that you think Bud ought to burn in hell. And by the way, I don't know who started it. We got more ways. Every guest we get on this show has more inventive and creative ways to tell somebody to go to hell than any show I've ever listened to in my life. You, in that post, said, has God made any improvements in hell?
Yes. Has he done any remodeling? Oh, it's funny now.
Yeah, it's funny now. All right, on the line with us here is Jack Gagner. We're going to talk about Richie Incognito and the latest from the world of football. Jack, the former play-by-play guy with the once and future play-by-play guy with the Milwaukee Lions. Jack, pleasant good evening to you.
Good evening, Phil. How are you doing?
Good. I want to discuss the Martin case in South Florida, and that is the case of the young Miami Dolphin player who was the object of this ridicule, who was the object of this harassment and taunting. His attorney has made a statement, which I'm going to get right here, Jack, and then I'll ask you to comment on this. But his attorney has made an estate. Mr. Martin's attorney has made a statement saying that his client was in fact harassed. This is a report from Adam Schefter. He's reacting to the report that Dolphin GM Jeff Ireland said Jonathan Martin should have punched Richie Incognito before Martin left the team. Schefter also details the latest news on Martin. Did you say that?
I heard what he said, this guy, Ireland. I want to tell you that Jeff Ireland's done a very good job with the Miami Dolphins. You can't take nothing away from him. I think the coach there has done a good job. I forget the guy's name. Philbin, is that it?
Yeah.
But that's a very, very stupid, idiotic, moronic thing for the general manager of the Miami Dolphins to say he should have punched him, because Jeff Ireland, I'm sure, was reacting as any man might react to a guy that's, being taunted. But he also is sending the message to other players that you go ahead and solve your problem with a punch. And that means that the ball club now becomes liable in a civil action in terms of lawsuits around that. So Ireland, whether he was serious or not, whether he was just venting his emotions, or whether he truly is as stupid as comment would indicate, I don't know. I don't know the guy. But I can tell you that it's about as dumb a thing as I ever heard a guy say. In the midst of all of this.
All right, well, let's just say that he said that because he was trying to express frustration on behalf of Jonathan Martin. Now, according to the story, Jonathan Martin has endured, according to a statement released on Martin's behalf by his lawyer, David Cornwell, that he's endured harassment. Can you expand on that?
Well, the statement says that Jonathan Martin has endured constant harassment, daily verbal attacks, and even a malicious physical attack from teammates during his time with the Miami Dolphins, according to the statement. Jason Whitlock says that one of the other players, says a prison yard mentality is largely to blame for the highly charged dysfunction surrounding Richie Incognito and Jonathan Martin. And what that means is, Phil, that like on a prison yard, the threat of violence, the threat of rape.
You're kidding me.
Are you? Rape?
Well, that's what he said. The threat of...
I think he's speaking in a very hyperbolic, fashion.
I don't know what hyperbolic means.
Hyperbole?
Hyperbole, yeah, all right. Hyperbole, I thought that was something you put a guy in to...
Yeah, it's something to help him breathe.
That's what I thought.
All right, well, maybe I said the wrong thing, but anyway, I think he's being extreme and over the top in making that point, don't you?
Well, I don't know. I mean, look, this guy incognito, I took one look at him on that tank. He's a big, stupid ape. He looks like a lot of those guys. He's got the big gun hanging over the belt. He's ripped. He's got the big guns. He's got the big shoulders, the big chest. He goes bouncing around that bar like he wants to kick everybody's ass. He looks, for all the world, like some kind of a raging alcoholic. I bet you the guy is like a beer drunk. I don't know. I mean, I've covered sports for a long time, and I've seen all kinds of crazy people, you know. But I've never seen a guy like Incognito who willingly allows himself to be photographed and videotaped running around like a big screaming gorilla and something out of the jungle.
But you're talking about a guy being out of the jungle.
Well, I'm saying he's a white guy, so what difference does it make?
Well, I mean, I suppose you're right.
Well, wait, what do you mean? He's a white guy, what difference? Well, you are right, yeah.
Look, let's just not go there, okay?
No, all I'm saying is I would never call a black guy that because black people have been called that, you know. But white people, you never hear them. I wanted to use the word ape. Is there something wrong with that?
No, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. When you say you wanted to use the word ape...
I've been longing for the longest time to call one of these guys a big, ugly ape that lives in a tree, and I can't say it because, you know, I don't want to say it about a black guy, but a white guy you can say that about. And this guy, Richie Incognito, and I want everybody in the Miami metropolitan area to hear me, and I want the Miami Dolphins to hear me. This guy is an ape, is an old world monkey. I don't even think this guy comes from the same evolutionary line as the gorillas that we know today. I think he's a whole different... And
all right, what is the point of all of this, huh?
Well, what's wrong?
Well, this is not so much covering the story as you want to get in some ape shots on Richie Incognito.
Something wrong with... No, I want to... No, I do not. No. No.
Well, that was interesting. What did you just say? You said, we didn't understand that.
Yeah, what did he say?
I said, I don't want to get in any shots. I want to cover the story. But I think the story here is this guy Incognito acting out of control. The guy's off the charts crazy. You don't do that to a teammate. Yeah, you can haze them. You know, there's all kinds of initiation rites. Everybody knows about that. But you're not going to make that guy's life so miserable that it begins to affect his performance in the negative. And this guy, Richie Incognito's got a personality problem. He's a bully. He likes to see people unhappy. I bet he's been doing it his whole life. And this poor kid, Martin, was on the receiving end of it, and it's somehow damaged his experience there with the Miami Dolphins. So that's why I say... Incognito is a gibbering, jabbering, vine-swinging ape that ought to be put in a cage until he learns some manners.
All right, well, how about he's been suspended, and when I hear you describe the man as such, I would take it that you'd want to see the guy cut from the team.
Absolutely, yeah. I would not, unless he really undergoes a whole personality transformation, that's up to the Dolphins. Suspending him was a good thing. And then getting this guy into some kind of a clinic where they can provide the proper, I don't know what you call it, proper treatment. I think this guy needs, he's got to be hooked up to some machine, electroshock.
Oh, come on.
They don't even use electroshock anymore, Jack.
Well, oh, yes, they do. Yes, in extreme cases they do. I'm not saying he needs to be, I believe. I really do believe this. He needs some kind of aversion therapy. In other words, when he feels like he wants to hurt somebody, they should run electricity through his... I don't know.
Why do you have this extremely violent and torturous reaction to him?
Because I was the victim of this stuff when I was a kid. Okay? I was the victim of this stuff when I was a kid at the hands of my younger brother. Not my older brother, my younger brother. My younger brother, okay, bullied me as a result of what he said what I was doing, which was bullying him.
Go, run that by me again.
This is interesting.
All right, okay. Yeah, it is interesting, Mark. My younger brother said I bullied him. All right, yes, I did. I used to drop him off the roof of the house into the pool, stuff like that.
Drop him off the roof of the house into the pool?
Yeah, that was the most extreme thing I did, but I would tie his shoelaces together. He got back at me by hooking me up to a car battery one night with a telephone crank on it. I don't know if you saw the movie Brubaker.
Hold on for a minute. What is he talking about?
You? Who booked this?
I did. Jack, you're going to be on to talk about Cognito.
Cognito? Well, wait till we hear this story. His kid brother used to torture him when they were younger by hooking him up to a car battery with an old-fashioned phone crank on it.
I don't find it funny, Phil.
You will. I guarantee you will. When Jack gets done telling this story, it'll be fantastic. All right, I'm going to be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Now, isn't this tranquil, bud? Who's this?
This Mumford & Sons.
Ain't that nice. Never heard of them. Yes, I have. I've heard of them. I'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And don't forget, our number is 855-500-7445 and philhendryshow.com.
Woo! To the Holland Road.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here at the El Pacifico. We have Jack Igagner with us. Jack, all-around sports journalist, longtime sports journalist, play-by-play guy with the Milwaukee Lions. And he's online with us here. We're talking about the Richie Incognito Jonathan Martin situation. If you haven't heard it, it was essentially the following, or heard of it. There was some harassment, allegedly, on the team by Mr. Incognito toward Mr. Martin of such a severity that it caused Martin to leave the team, caused a profound depression, some sort of emotional difficulty that he has since had to leave the team and has to address this problem, and is of such severity that the Dolphins suspended Richie Incognito. Now, Jack, there's a story here written by a former teammate that says that, I'm trying to see if I know this guy's name, Lydon Murtha. Do you know this guy?
Oh, no, I don't know the guy, but I know the article you're talking about. He says he played with the Dolphins for 3 years there between 2009 and 2012 and was good friends, and he never saw nothing. And hey, look, you know, I just want to say this. I have nothing but respect for players. I have a respect for people. But when you're talking about a friend of yours, and you want to believe things about a guy, you're going to say and do and believe things about somebody. And nobody wants to think their friend is a scumbag. No one wants to think their friend is a guy that Jack Igagner has just called a vine-swinging, swamp-running ape like this guy Incognito.
I have a problem with these names that you're calling him.
Yeah, I do too, even though I know, you know, it's not racial. It still is kind of bad.
You know, as I said to Phil, I don't have the opportunity to call a guy. What do you want me to say here, you know?
Well, all right, I think that I understand the difference. I understand the difference between, Margaret, using those phrases.
Well, I understand the difference, too, you know, but still, it's like over the top or something.
I don't think it's over the top. Not with this guy Incognito, no. This guy is a walking... He's right off of that Island of Lost... Did you ever see the movie with Bela Lugosi called The Island of Lost Souls, and everybody was part monkey? You see that one, Phil?
No, I didn't... Yeah, The Island of Lost Souls, yeah. Yeah.
H.G. Wells wrote it.
Right, there you go. That's with this guy. It's like they grafted an ape onto this, because I'm telling you...
You're just talking about a guy being part ape.
I'm telling you, this guy Incognito, he doesn't have a human mind. He has the mind of an animal. He has the mind it's not a human. And I'm sorry if it sounds bad, but let me tell you people something. It would have been really bad if this guy Martin had left camp, gone home, and blown his brains out. Think about that. And if it's bad enough where the guy's got to leave camp...
How do we know that Richie Incognito is the only guy?
Well, he's the guy that's been... everybody... Look at the guy. He's talking about himself being an honorary black guy. He says that he's, he's running around like something right out of a tree. You know, I'm telling you, if he lived next door to me, I would consider my property values have gone down. I would consider I keep an eye out for my daughter.
So in other words, Richie Incognito, you're laying every negative stereotype about black guys, you're laying it on him because you can, because he's white.
Absolutely. That's a very good point, Phil.
Yeah, is that what you're doing?
Wait, hold the phone. That is an absolutely untrue statement. That's very unfair. Very unfair.
If the guy lived next door to you, your property value would go down.
Well, sure it would go down. Are you trying to tell me that a guy acting like that? Look, Phil, there's a difference between a guy's skin color and the way a guy conducts himself. This is what I'm talking about. There's a difference between calling a guy a name or whatever because it just so happens the guy's got a different color skin. And there's a big difference between that and saying this guy is a run-amok monkey because of the way he behaves. See? See what I'm saying there, Phil? Hey, Phil.
Yeah. No, yeah, I understand. Okay.
Well, I think it's a very... You're asking a lot, Doctor, as Ossie Davis said in the great Do the Right Thing. He said, you're asking a lot, Doctor, when you're asking a man to change the brand of his beer.
Yeah.
That's it.
What's that got to do with anything?
That's got everything to do with it, Doctor. If I may say, you're asking a lot. Never mind.
All right, well, if you're trying to show your erudition when it comes to movies, I don't get it.
I didn't either. What does that mean?
Don't worry about it. You're asking a lot.
Well, I may be asking a lot. I'm not asking you to change the brand of your beer. You know, whatever that may be, Margaret. And, you know, with all due respect, and I love you and respect you, but what is it, Schlitz? You know?
You wouldn't say that if I was sitting in front of you, okay?
Well, your husband doesn't scare me.
No, I'm not talking about my husband. I'm talking about if you were sitting in front of me.
Well, I don't think, Margaret, we got to go there. But, look, Patsy, I love, you know, Patsy loves you, and...
All right, let's not get personal here, all right?
Well, I'm not the one getting personal. He's saying to me that I drink Schlitz.
I'm just saying the way you act and talk about kicking everybody's ass every time. You want to kick Bud's ass all the time. I'm sitting there thinking, what do you drink, Mambo malt liquor? Good Lord.
God almighty, is it because you worked in Milwaukee that you're such a virulent racist? Or
I want you to take that back.
Look, I'm not going to get into people taking stuff back here because so much has been said that it's... Forget it, okay? Just forget it. Richie Incognito, suspended by the team. What's going to happen?
Well, what's going to happen here is the following thing. The Dolphins have said to Cognito... Incognito. They have said to him, and you just pointed it out, Phil, you're going to get your ass off of Twitter, get off of Facebook, shut your fat mouth. That's the number one thing that Cognito's got to do. You got to shut up. See? And then the number two thing that it will have to happen is there's going to have to be some meeting of the minds between Richie Incognito and his representatives and the lawyer representing Martin, because Martin and Cognito are not going to sit down together. Martin's lawyer isn't going to let him. In fact, Martin's lawyer isn't going to let him come back to the team until something's done, because right now the Miami Dolphins are looking down at the barrel of a lawsuit, a workplace lawsuit. Cognito may or may not get named. Let me tell you how these things are done. When you're talking about a workplace lawsuit, they sue the place that you're working at. So they're going to sue the Miami Dolphins. Richie Incognito doesn't mean, in the overall scheme of things when it comes to a lawsuit, Richie Incognito doesn't mean diddly squat, because he hasn't got the kind of money that it's going to take to satisfy this situation. Now, I'm not saying that Martin's the guy that's going to be necessarily pushing for a big dollar settlement. The lawyer will, and the lawyer is going to be looking at Miami Dolphins, see?
All right, so it's all in the Dolphins' court. It's got nothing to do with Richie Incognito?
Absolutely, because Richie Incognito isn't anything. He's just a dumbass. He's some dumb ape that they got chained to a wall someplace.
Boy, you really love...
Just don't worry about it. He's a dumb ape that they got chained to a wall, and if they need to cut him loose to keep everything good, they'll cut his ass loose so fast you won't believe it. He'll be gone from that football team. He don't get it. He's a young man. He thinks that the world is his oyster. And he's finding out now that, you know, actions have consequences.
All right, so, but my question then would be, and this is really a educational and illustrative, I think, of similar situations, no matter where we are in life. You, as an employee, you know, you're interacting with other employees, and if you are treating them in such a way that they begin to have a very serious problem, the first thing they have to do is go to their supervisor, whoever that is, and I guess that's the head coach, right? What did the coach say about this?
Well, the coach says that, you know, I'm going to format, I want respect and all this bull crap, which I don't believe. I mean, I believe it, but I'll tell you what he did. I don't even have to talk to this guy to know what he did. He didn't do anything. He thought it was part of the whole hazing rights, you know, ritual of manhood, bull crap stuff, NFL. You know, I mean, you find more men in a Cub Scout meeting than you find in the average National Football League locker room. Take my word on that. You're going to find more men in a Girl Scout meeting than you find in a National Football League locker room. So that's a bunch of baloney. So I think what's going to happen here is the Dolphins are going to say to Martin and his lawyer, what's it going to take? And I don't think Martin's the kind of guy who's going to want to see Incognito booted off the team, although maybe he does, I don't know. But maybe he'll say, you know, this guy's got to be kept chained to a wall someplace, and it'll take a little bit of money, maybe it'll take some rehab, I don't know.
I think he's going to get, I think he's permanently off the team.
Well, that could be, you know.
Yeah, I agree with that. They're going to kick him off the team, because they're never going to be straight.
I think they're going to kick his ass off the team, and that's the end of that. I don't know. I mean, I shouldn't say, but I, at least based upon stuff that that I've seen. Okay, Jack, thanks a lot for...
I got to take no calls or anything like that?
Do you want to take a call? We have one hanging on.
Yeah.
All right, well, hold on. We'll get back to Jack Igagder and phone calls, 855-500-7445. Now, just based on what I've personally seen, and I'm not saying I got any experience, it just seems to me that they will cut this guy loose, get rid of the problem, and then they got to sit down with Martin and his attorney and say, okay, what's it going to take? You know, what? You know, we don't want to get sued. The Dolphins don't need a lawsuit, and they don't want it, and they're not going to fight it either because it's all about publicity. So that's what I think. I think they'll settle. It may take some money. I think eventually both of these guys, though, Martin and Incognito, I think they're both done with the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins will have a long-range plan to ease Martin off of the team and pretend like this, you know, this stuff never happened. That's my thinking. All right, we're going to take a break here. We'll be back with more from Jack Igagder here in the world of sports on this Thursday night. Truth is our bitch. Always was, always will be. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. And back we are. And just to give you a phone call or two here for Jack Igagder, who's on the line with us here from Los Angeles this evening and back to Milwaukee, I think, early next week. Right, Jack?
That's right. Yeah, we're going to go back just in time for my daughter's having a baby, and we're going to open up our lake house and a couple of other for the Christmas season. But, yeah, we're out here right now talking television and, you know, who knows?
All right, let's go to a phone call here, 855-500-7445. Brad Rifkin going to be talking to us here from Las Vegas, Nevada. And I know, Brad, that you are originally a... I know that you were originally a native of New York City, but you lived a long time in Miami. So what do you think about this?
First of all, I want to say that, you know, Jack, I admire what you do, and I'm very much admire what you, you know, of the things we could do, you know.
Thank you.
But, I mean, I think you're way, way off base here, talking about Incognito like he's a monkey in a tree, and he's a wild man, and he's he needs to be chained to a wall. I mean, I've seen Richie Incognito. You know, I know Martin's a good ball player. I mean, he played for Jim Harbaugh at Stanford and was a teammate of Andrew Luck. But I think Richie Incognito, he's just trying to, you know, he's also a professional who's just trying to bring the guys... You know, along. I mean, I've read this. I was reading this article as I was sitting waiting to go on the air here with you, Phil. That was from the lawyer.
Yeah.
And apparently, he's saying that there was a quote in here about Martin's sister, and he says that there's a quote in here about using the N word, and this went on for a year and a half, and it made it kind of tough.
Well, you know, you can say, you know, you say that you read an article, and what do you think about that? I mean, you're sitting for waiting to go on the radio, and now you're looking at this article.
Well, it makes it harder for me to come on here and defend the guy. You know, I was all ready to just tear into you and say all kinds of things to you. Now I find that this guy's talking about a guy's sister.
Yeah, I mean, that right there is a little line. And I've had this reaction before. I wouldn't feel bad about it, Brad. Guys want to call up. They want to rip me a new ass. And then they read up on just what an ape in the jungle this guy, Cognito, is. And the whole thing changes, you know.
You know, his name is Incognito, not Cognito.
No, I know that. I want to mess his name up because I just don't like the guy.
Look, you got a real personal thing here with this guy?
Yeah, that's my feeling. Sounds like you got it's a... Like a personal thing.
Well, Phil asked me if I'd been bullied. you know.
I know you were bullied. You were bullied by your younger brother. Are you sure that's not what's causing this?
See, that's because that's a very unusual thing, to be bullied by a younger brother.
Well, here's what happened. He said I was bullying him. My younger brother hooked me up to a car battery with a phone crank on it and an old-fashioned, you know, telephone crank, and started running electrical current in my body, basically giving me, you know, torturing me with electricity until I bolted up upright. You know, I would wake up, and I'd pull these wires off of my, excuse me for saying, testicles. Your kid brother did this? Yeah, yeah. And so I beat my brother up to when he did that. I mean, I beat him up pretty good. And I said, you can't do that no more, or I'm obviously going to tell, you know, our parents.
Tell your parents? Why didn't you tell the parents right then? That's an unbelievable, violent assault by your kid brother.
Well, you know what? We're close. I'm still close to Joey. He's 4 years younger than me. I love him dearly, and we get together. He's got his personality. I got mine. I mean, he pushed me out of a sailboat here 2 summers ago, and took a boat oar to me like 3 or 4 summers ago. He's got a personality.
Hey, this guy, your brother, and I don't mean to say nothing, okay?
Well, you know, just like you don't want to hear nobody talk bad about his sister, I'd ask you to be careful.
Well, look, I'm only going to quote back to you, Jack, what you just said, a boat oar, and he pushed you out of a sailboat.
I agree with Brad.
Yeah, you know, to me, that's a violent man. You agree with Brad what?
I agree with him that there's something wrong with your brother. And that and that as a younger brother, he's hooking electrodes to your testicles using a car battery? And this is why you have sympathy for people that have been bullied? Look, I was never bullied like that, ever in my life. I was never treated that way by a brother or a sister or anybody. I was never picked on. I was picked on in the schoolyard, but nothing to the extent that this man has suffered. And I don't need to have had that experience to know that this is a terrible situation for Mr. Martin, and I also know what the workplace is about. I understand what the laws are governing that, and I understand that this is far more serious than just, you know, this is a bullying thing, but there's more to it than that.
Well, okay, Phil, thank you very much for that, you know, political statement.
All I'm going to say is the following thing. Your brother, now, Richie Incognito, I understand that guy, I understand now he may be a scumbag, okay? But I'm still a Dolphin fan. But I think the real problem here is your brother, Joey Igagda. And by the way, calling a guy's last name Incognito when you got a name like that, you got to be kidding me.
What's wrong with my name?
You're kidding, right?
Are you kidding, Jack? I mean, everybody knows you got a weird last name.
Well, if you're referring to what you think... No. I don't have a weird... That's a German name, okay? Yeah, it's a German name that sounds just as weird as Incognito. So that's all I want to say, Phil. And again, if Incognito... I wanted to call and give the guy a voice of defense here because I was listening to this guy being called an ape and a monkey and he's a swamp-running jungle... And he's a white man, you know.
Well, if he was black, would it be any better?
Well, no, not better, but...
See, that's what I'm talking about. That's why I don't want to use that language at all, even with a white man, because it's going to give people an idea.
Look, I would never use that toward a black guy, but I saw my opening and I took it. And
you saw your opening and took it, and so started knocking Richie Incognito that way. All right, thank you very much, gentlemen. Gonna go, all right?
Wait a minute, Phil, I want to...
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Gonna go. So there is, thanks a lot for that, Jack Igagder, and thanks, Brad, for calling in, and I can't decide now, is he okay now with Incognito, or is he...
No, now he doesn't like him, but now he thinks Jack's brother is weird.
Well, he's got that right.
I never knew that about Jack's brother, so in other words, his brother is a sadist.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me. Some kind of a sadist who used as an excuse... the fact that he said Jack bullied him when he was a kid. So I don't know. The article here that I would recommend everybody read is the lawyer here for Mr. Martin says that Jonathan Martin's toughness is not an issue. He says Jonathan has started every game of the Miami Dolphins since he was drafted in 2012. The issue is his treatment by his teammates. He endured harassment that went far beyond the traditional locker room hazing. For the entire season and a half that he has been with the Dolphins, he attempted to befriend the same teammates who subjected him to the abuse, with the hope that doing so would end the harassment. This is a textbook reaction of victims of bullying. Despite these efforts, the taunting continued beyond the well-publicized voicemail with its racial epithet. Jonathan endured a malicious physical attack on him by a teammate and daily vulgar comments, such as the quote at the bottom. And this quote at the bottom of the memo has to do with his sister, Jonathan Martin's sister. This is the attorney speaking, continuing. Eventually, Jonathan made a difficult choice. Despite his love for football, he left the Dolphins. He looks forward to getting back to playing football. In the meantime, he'll cooperate fully with the NFL. The statement included an alleged vulgar quote from an anonymous teammate directed at Martin's sister. Martin has previously said that he suffered harassment and was bullied by Richie Incognito, and handed over evidence to the Dolphins, the NFL, and the NFLPA. Now, the attorney kept Incognito's name out of it for the obvious reason that he did not want to publicize Incognito's name until the facts really are out, and the guy's name is out there now, and Incognito is claiming he's been libeled by ESPN. It's going to be nuts, man.
Well, what if all of this has got nothing to do with him?
Well, then somebody's going to obviously get... There'll be lawsuits like you wouldn't have believed, man, all over the place.
Yeah, who's going to sue who?
I don't know who's going to... He'll sue the Dolphins. The Dolphins will sue... You know, I don't know, man. Somebody's suing somebody, and it ain't going to be pretty. How about that?
Well, that really helps.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. All right, we're going to come back here with the 7 foods that won't be the same once trans fat is banned, if it's banned. How about that? So, goodbye popcorn, donuts, all that. We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show. Hey, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com. Over online at philhendryshow.com, we have the largest archive of any single radio show in the world, and that is the archive of the Phil Hendry Show going back over 15 years with some incredible radio shows, as commented on by the New York Times, among others. I would like to mention some names, drop some names. I won't do that. I will just I'll just encourage you to listen to what we got over there, and you do it with a backstage pass. It is entirely affordable. As I say, there's only one better buy on the internet, and that's porn. But other than that,
I wish you wouldn't make that comparison. But
yeah, well, that's, you know, Margaret, you don't have to listen to that.
Well, I have to listen to that. I'm on the program, and I don't think it's a decent comparison.
Well, what do you want me to say? You were here a moment ago talking about how you're going to be singing, you know, your adult set, having to do with the way somebody smells, and...
I didn't say the... Yes, I'm doing The Smell of Love, and I'm doing Blow Bob's Love to Me, but that's it.
No, you're doing more than that. You're doing a whole set, so don't give me a hard time. Anyway, go over to philhendryshow.com, and while you're there, visit our online store. We have the Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie, the Ted's of Beverly Hills t-shirt. Where is Ted these days?
Yeah, I don't know, man. He hasn't been around. Ned called up, got to get him on.
Yeah, I mean, he's usually on the show. Oh, tomorrow night is Friday. He's usually on Friday night, so...
Want to make sure?
Yeah, call him up and bug him and tell him that he's supposed to be on. Otherwise, he'll start screaming at me that I didn't remind him. Anyway, the Ted's of Beverly Hills t-shirt and hoodie. We also have a number of other things, including all of our Best of CDs. In fact, if you're watching Phil TV in HD, right behind me is the Miami Best of CD. It's gone now.
That says Atascadero State Hospital.
That's different. There was a slide that said, Phil, I'll show it to you later. Here. This is our Best of CD from Miami. See it? And this slide of our Best of from Miami, there, WIOD, that is available as a download. We do not have the hard copy. We don't have the case, the CD case or anything like that. What are you looking at, Margaret?
Well, it sounded like someone farted.
Yeah, it did.
Maybe it was the paper. Well, you got to bring that up in the middle of the show.
Sorry.
So anyway, visit us at philhendryshow.com and check out the online store, and you'll just love it. Someone farted.
Sorry, that's what it sounded like. I'm a reporter, Phil. I've got to be completely honest and open and candid. I have to let people...
Really? Well, you aren't that honest and candid and open when you're in the bathroom.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's entirely different.
Well, I don't know. All right, 7 foods that won't be the same if trans fats are banned. Take it easy, will you?
Well, that's entirely different for you to bring something like that up.
No, it isn't. You talk about a fart.
At least I'm not sitting here going, you talk about a fart? Why don't you back it down a little bit, bud, all right? Everyone can hear you in the next state.
All right, take it easy. Take it easy, okay?
You know, Miss Ellie, telling people to take it easy, they ain't taking it easy.
Well, then maybe I ought to start belting somebody around here. 7 foods that won't be the same if trans fats are banned.
I know somebody who won't be the same. Margaret.
Is that...
Ow.
Watch it.
All right. On Thursday, the Food and Drug Administration announced that it is moving towards significantly limiting...
I don't like that comment either.
Will you let it go? You gotta let some of this stuff go. And Bud... On Thursday, the Food and Drug Administration...
What if it was you?
What if it was me, what?
You know, you're on your diet. By the way, how's that going?
Yeah, what calorie are you at now?
What do you mean, what calorie am I at right now?
What calories did you do today?
Yeah, you keep it on a daily record, aren't you, Mr. Ernie?
Yes, I do.
How many calories today?
Today, I'm at 1,600 calories.
Really?
Yeah, 1,600 calories. Yesterday, I did maybe a little bit more, 1,750 calories yesterday. And... That's what I do, man. I mean, I'm, you know, after blowing it out here during the summer and picking up 20 pounds, I'm back to, you know, dropping the weight again. So I'm only doing, you know, at the most 1,700, 1,800 calories a day now. And that's fine. I can live with that, you know. But when I get down to the target weight, which, as you know, is around 200, 205 pounds.
How much do you weigh now?
I don't want to say.
Oh, man, did you pig out?
Don't worry about how much I weigh, right? At least I'm the only guy around here that I can see who's taking care of his health at all. I'm the only guy eating healthy. Every time I follow you guys around, there's Frito-Lay bags laying everywhere.
Yeah, man. The Frito-Lay and that and a cheese.
That cheese that you eat with that Fritos, you know, the cheese,
Yeah, it's a cheese dip.
Yeah, that is going to congeal in your guts, and you'll never have a bowel movement again. I guarantee you.
No, wait. What are you talking about?
That jar of cheese they sell with the Frito chips.
Oh, I love that stuff.
Yeah, me too. It's got a jalapeno in it and everything.
Well, it may have the jalapeno in it, which will probably save you, although in saving you, it will be like passing hydrochloric acid. But that cheese, I can look at that stuff, and it says they might as well call that colon cement. What are you laughing at?
That was very funny.
Colon cement, huh?
Yes. It'll cement your... Frank says that stuff will cement your ass.
All right, take it easy, okay? With the whole cement your ass.
That's you just said take it easy again.
Right, and I'll keep on saying, that's the word that I use. That's the phrase that I'm going to use now. Take it easy. Okay, we all done with the cheese and the Frito bags?
You brought it up.
Well, you guys are asking me about my diet, okay? And that's what I'm eating. I'm eating healthy, and I'm not eating Fritos, and I'm not eating Lay's potato chips, and I'm not eating... What else did I see? I saw bags of Snickers. I saw bags of Butterfingers. You guys are nuts.
Well, I can watch a football game.
No, I understand that. I mean, you know, you've got to do what you got to do, but don't be giving me a hard time about what I'm doing. Anyway, the agency decided... Oh, so here it is. The FDA announced that it is moving towards significantly limiting, more or less banning, trans fats from foods in the U.S. Now, what are trans fats? Trans fats are a byproduct of partially hydrogenated oils. By bubbling hydrogen gas through oil under certain conditions, manufacturers can turn liquid oils into whatever saturation or thickness that they desire. Such partially hydrogenated oils have become popular because they give foods taste and texture. And in the 1950s, trans fats emerged as a way to increase the shelf life for processed foods such as baked goods. So it's also a preservative. However, they've also been linked to major health problems such as coronary heart disease, since trans fats build up plaque in the arteries that can be contributed, that do contribute to a heart attack. In 1999, the FDA first proposed that manufacturers disclose, the amount of trans fat on nutrition labels, but that did not become a requirement until 2006. Now, after reviewing studies on trans fats, the FDA issued a Federal Register notice, which is preliminarily determination that PHOs are no longer, that's partially hydrogenated oils, are no longer generally recognized as safe. The public, includes scientists and other experts in nutrition and health, have 60 days to comment on the FDA's conclusion. And if after that time the agency still deems the trans fats are unsafe, manufacturers would need to get FDA approval to use PHOs and trans fats in their products. Foods that contain unapproved food additives cannot legally be sold and therefore are banned.
Well, I don't have a problem with it. The problem that everyone gets into is the cost. How much is this going to cost? How much more money are they going to tack onto things? And the manufacturers use this as... What's wrong with the television?
Oh, that's Time Warner Cable. That's the marvelous service that we have from Time Warner. I can't wait to get rid of you guys. I swear to God. Every time... you can't leave a TV set on around here without it just going nuts. And when we get DirecTV in here, man, it's going to be a beautiful, beautiful thing. I got news for you.
Well, when's that going to happen, Phil? You've been talking about that for years.
No, I haven't. I haven't been talking about it for years. Look at this. It is absolutely the worst, I'm telling you. So, yeah, when we get time, I'm going to put the satellite dish on here, on this here building, and then we won't have to sweat this garbage can reception we get from Time Warner Cable. You guys spend less money on the commercials you do about Enjoy Better and all that bull crap, and start fan out, man, like Jay Santos says, you know?
Yeah, spread out.
Spread out and fix something. All right, we'll be back with more on trans fats here in just a moment on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Trans fats, are they about to be outlawed? How's that going to make the popcorn taste? How's that going to make, you know, everything taste, man? It's going to taste like, you know...
It tastes like there's no trans fat in it.
Exactly. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Sometimes I feel a little mad.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, and welcome back here. All right, trans fats and all that stuff. You know, I could talk forever, man, about diets and taking weight off, because I lost 90 pounds. I mean, that's that was a big thing for me. I never doubted that I could do that, but my doctors did, you know.
Your doctors? Good Lord. What, did you have a staff of these people standing there at the bedside with the...
Yeah, it's like you're the president or something.
No, I didn't have a staff of them. I mean, I had two. I had one for certain things and another one for another thing.
And what would those be?
None of your business. How about that? Okay?
Sorry.
Yeah, you got it. None of your business.
Probably has something to do with a penis.
Ow! I'm gonna throw you out into traffic, man. I'm gonna throw you out into the ocean. Huh? How would you like that? I'll take you out in a boat, and I'll drop you about a mile out, man, and let you swim back, which, of course, you won't be able to do.
I didn't mean it. I'm just saying stuff that...
Yeah, uh-huh. You're saying stuff that what?
Thinks it's all shock jock and everything.
Yes, he wants to be a shock jock.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, you ain't it, bud. So, you know, those days are over, shock jock. All right,
I always talk about you having to have your penis looked at.
What did I just say to you, man? Seven foods that won't be the same if trans fats are banned. So, what are these foods? Well, let's take a look, shall we? Donuts. Without trans fats, they may become more oily. That sounds good to me.
Yeah, sounds pretty good.
Well, oily?
Yeah, I mean, that's what they are anyway. How did they make donuts back in the day before trans fats? And what do they mean, trans fats... You mean they're mixing in this slop? Oh, God. Why don't you guys just use lard? You know, because it has that consistency.
Well, the lard probably is less fat. Well, it's not less fat, but it doesn't adhere.
Yeah, it won't stick to the arteries.
You know, the whole thing with this, is, the argument with this is as follows. And you find people talking about this stuff. Well, now, shouldn't I be allowed to eat what I want to eat? Sure, you can eat whatever you want. You can eat whatever you want. Go out and buy a bunch of crap and make your own donuts. How about that? But according to the law and the Food and Drug Administration, the mandate that the Food and Drug Administration was set up by to adhere to is that if you're going to sell stuff, if you're a manufacturer of food for the public, so you're selling food to the public... You can't put poison in it. And they're essentially saying that this is a poisonous product.
Well, not going to kill you right away.
It ain't going to kill you right away, but it is a product that far from meeting the requirement of keeping you you know, fueled. Far from the requirement of it keeping you alive, it being a food product, so one would assume that that's what it's supposed to do. Yes, it's a fun food, and it's enjoyable. Let's eat some donuts. It makes us feel good, and I love donuts. And people can argue, well, now, eating donuts, this is not a healthy thing anyway, so where do you get off saying that there's not going to be any trans fat in it? The difference is the following thing. You can eat donuts and control your weight, and even control the vitality of your health while you eat donuts. But if you're eating donuts with trans fats in them, the FDA's position is, it doesn't matter how well you take care of yourself. You're compromised. Your body has been compromised physically by this ingredient, and there ain't a whole hell of a lot you're going to be able to do about it.
Well, if you're the trans... Well, you don't have to eat them.
Well, you don't have to eat them, exactly. You don't have to eat them. Don't eat anything with a trans fat in it. If the trans fat is in there and it's jamming your arteries full of all of this gunk, then what are your chances of surviving that without a heart attack or a stroke? And number two, how do you get rid of that without a doctor going in through major surgery and clearing that out? Better that that stuff not even be in your food is what the FDA is saying, because it's a poison. So that's really what we're talking about here. And people that are talking about, you know, I have the right to eat what I want to eat, you have every right in the world. In fact, if you want to go and find the ingredients to make a donut with trans fats in it, if you want to take hydrogenated oil and partially hydrogenate it and turn it into a trans fat, go ahead and do it, man. Knock yourself out. But if you're going to sell that slop to the public, now you have to go through a certain process because you're not allowed to sell poison to the public. And
what about cigarettes?
Well, cigarettes are a great example. Now, the problem with cigarettes is that we've gotten so used to smoking cigarettes, and nicotine is such an addictive process product that it's taking, I should say it's not taking, that the government, legislators, the FDA, etc., are taking a longer time affecting the prohibition of cigarettes, because you'll have a riot on your hands, man, if you don't let cigarette smokers have their smokes. I know, I used to smoke. And when I smoked cigarettes, I tried to be as polite as I could. I tried to keep away from people. I understood that it, you know, secondhand smoke, all of that stuff. And certainly no one had any qualms about letting me know just how distasteful they found the whole, you know, total strangers walking up to you, and you've heard the stories. However, if somebody tried to take those cigarettes away from me, I don't give a damn how big. They could have been 18 feet tall, man. They would have had a fight on their hands.
Because of the drug addict aspect, Phil, that's what I'm saying. The cigarettes turned you into a mauling animal. Now, let me just finish this, all right?
But, Margaret...
Let me finish this, because I saw this. I saw this with Frank and some of his friends in show business. Because back in the early days of show business, Phil, it wasn't marijuana, and it wasn't cocaine. It was heroin.
Yeah, I read all about that.
Let me just tell you. I saw friends of Frank's crawling the walls, sweating it out, going into alleys, going into back... You don't even want to know. They do anything, and let me underline that word anything, for a fix. So I know that when you have an addiction like you had to the thing that you addicted to, not that you addicted to, but to...
The thing that I was addicted to.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, what are you going to do that for?
Exactly, Margaret. You're making a great point, and then you belch.
I said I was sorry.
Well, that doesn't erase the memory.
Yeah, it's very traumatic.
Oh, the memory, is it? Oh, God, wait till I tell Frank. Phil has been traumatized by the memory of my belch.
And it's not very ladylike, either.
Well, excuse me, Daddy, but I'm not exactly your typical lady.
So we've noticed.
And what does that mean?
Just finish what you're saying, please.
I'm saying that you were a crawling, sweating, grabbing, grasping drug addict. And you would have killed your own mother? You would have...
I got news for you. While I was a drug addict in terms of the addiction of nicotine, the addictive qualities of nicotine, there's no question, I wouldn't have sold my own mother. Okay? I would have found a cigarette. You can buy them, and I would have bought them. Or I would have bummed one. Or I would have done something.
Would you bust it into a place like that guy did in the Days of Wine and Roses?
Yeah, remember when that guy did that?
You'd be Jack Lemmon in the Days of Wine and Roses, kicking in a window to get your dirty, filthy cigarette.
No, I would not be kicking in any windows. Why don't you get your head out of the movies and out of paperback novels, and let's get real, okay? Regardless of what you saw when Frank was in the show business end of things with his crawling, screaming, drug addict, heroin addicted friends. Wait till I talk to him about that one.
Please do.
But I will say this. If someone tried to take my cigarettes away from me or said, you can't have any cigarettes, you may not buy any cigarettes, you may not smoke any cigarettes, I would have said, you better go and get, like, the first Marines or something, because you're not, just you are not going to stop me. I'm going to have my cigarette. That's how addictive the cigarettes were, and that's how much I needed my smokes, and that's how much I was going to have my smokes regardless. And so what I did is I kept it as far away from people as I could until my home became just, you've been in my house back when I smoked.
It stunk of cigarettes, everything. And your clothes did, too.
No, I know that. I smell that now. Now that I'm a non-smoker, I smell cigarettes a mile away. I can smell them when I have the window rolled down and I'm parked at a stoplight. I can smell the cigarettes coming from someone's car. The difference between me and most of these non-smokers is it doesn't bother me. I don't scream at people. I'm not rude to people. I don't yell at them. Frankly, I inhale a little bit, you know.
And you're not afraid of the secondhand smoke?
Oh, get out of here with a save. You know what, man? If I don't have cancer, if I'm going to get cancer, I'm going to get cancer. I gave up the smokes after 40-plus years of smoking, growing up in the San Gabriel Valley, breathing that pollution day in and day out, then 3 packs a day by the time I finally wound up on my back in a hospital, and I don't have lung cancer. Now, I ain't saying I ain't going to get it, but...
You had to survive a lot of stuff there, I'll tell you that. That's pretty good, man.
Thank you, bud. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Here, give me 5.
All right. What's that on my hand? You dirty...
I think that's PHO.
No, it's just water.
PHO.
Did he put a trans fat on your hand? That's what I thought he did.
No, he didn't put any trans fat on my hand. He knows not to do that because he likes living. World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. 855-500-7445. We'll be back here with Twitter, news of Twitter's stock price, and other phantasmic news, including that typhoon in the Philippines. Man, that looks pretty weird. World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. Visit us online, man. Be a part of the BSP family. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. We have on the line here Karen Deauville and family. I think they're traveling where?
They're going north up to Philadelphia, I think.
Karen, how have you been? I haven't heard from you in a long time.
Oh, Phil, we're on our way up to Philadelphia. We're going to see Herb and Jerry's parents. We're having such a ball listening to you, and we just wanted to come and say hello to you, and I wanted to comment on the topic that you're on. Is that all right?
Yeah, that's fine. Fine. First of all, I want to know, where are you guys?
We're in Clinton, right, Jerry? Yeah, we're in Clinton, Maryland, and we're on our way over to go to Philadelphia, but right now we're passing through here to see Jerry and Herb's parents. But we're having a ball listening to your show. I wanted to talk, if I could, but I don't want to butt in.
No, no, we don't have any guests right now. What did you want to say?
Well, you know something, Phil. It is, and Jerry, I know you want to say something. Because Jerry, my brother-in-law, Herb's brother, he doesn't eat a lot of the things you think a lot of the people that come from the South eat. Because both of these guys come from Kentucky, and they were raised very, very poor. Well, I want to tell them, I have, Phil... I don't want to say. Here, let me give it to Jerry.
Hey, Mr. Henry, how are you?
Hi, Jerry. What's with your sister-in-law?
She doesn't want to tell. You don't want to tell? She don't want to say right now, but the reason why I wanted to get on, just on the phone with you for a second, Phil, is to tell you that Herb and I both, we grew up in a very, very poor part of Kentucky, and we had no real plumbing. And all of the stereotypes you hear about living in the backwoods of Kentucky were very true of our family. And we were raised on all of that very traditional cooking, all of sorghum, possum, you name it. We used to grow our own roots and everything that you can think a poor family gets by with, that's what we would do. Today, however, and since I turned 18, I've made a promise to myself that I would only eat cut broccoli and cut cauliflower and drink rainwater. Fresh cut, only fresh cut broccolis. I'm a complete vegetarian and have been for a long time.
I've seen a picture of you, Jerry, and you are a big guy. You know, there's nothing small about you.
No, that's absolutely right, but I'm telling you that I don't eat any fats. I don't eat anything that is not a fresh-cut broccoli. I love broccoli, cauliflower, celery. Karen, what else?
He loves to have the fresh-cut, the rutabagas, and the turnips.
Yes, turnip. I love to put salt on a turnip. And I have the only thing I drink is rainwater. And not only rainwater, but I also drink distilled water and that. So I don't know why I'm big and fat, and I think the reason is probably genetics. It may have to do with a hyperactive thyroid. I'm talking to Herb. Herb's the same way. Herb is the same size as me, and yet he's exactly the same size as me, as a matter of fact. Wouldn't you say?
Well, a lot of people... Hold on. Let me take the phone. I want to talk to my buddy, Phil. Phil, this is Karen.
Go ahead, hon.
A lot of people think that Herb and Jerry are twins, although I don't think they look anything like each other, but they're very, very similar in body type. The funny thing of it is that Herb eats just about everything that you were talking about, the donuts and all that, and Jerry doesn't.
And they're the same size, and one of them is eating nothing but garbage. I don't understand that.
Well, we think, well, that's what we mean. We think it's like a genetic thing. Here, I'm going to get the phone back.
Yeah, okay, so, but...
Well, how do you feel?
I feel great. I feel great. I think I look good. I get up in the morning.
You feel you look good. I'm not saying you're not an unhandsome man, Jerry, but you are a big guy, not fat, but just big. You know.
Oh, I know that. I know that. But when I get up in the morning, I look in the mirror. I think I look good. I think I feel good. I hit the street very confident. I have lunch. I'll give you an example. Lunch I had. I had a turnip soup, and again, distilled water or purified water. And I have...
Reminds me of that guy from Dr. Strangelove.
Who's that again?
The guy in Dr. Strangelove. He only drank grain alcohol and rainwater.
Oh, okay. I'm not a big movie buff, but all right.
But he was a little psycho. I'm not saying you are.
No, I think I look good. I feel good. Herb, on the other hand, he eats all of that, don't you, Herb? He's been laughing himself sick here listening to your program. He's sitting in a corner. Here, take it.
Phil, I want to say one thing, because I have, Phil, if I was on your program and I was sitting there with Bud and Margaret and everybody, and hello, Margaret, is she there? I want to say hi. Hello, Margaret.
Yes, hello.
She hates me.
No, I don't hate you at all, dear. You're just a motor mouth, and I try to do other things when you call.
Okay, all right, I'll get off really fast. I just want to say this, Phil. If I was, I'm a motor mouth, so I got to get off.
Yes, you're motor mouthing right now. You're like, that's the way it sounds.
All right, Margaret, okay. Phil, what I want to say is, if I was on the panel with you and everyone, I would say the following thing. I have a big ass, okay? And Herb, you love it, don't you, honey, if he's nodding his head. Herb likes my big butt. And Jerry, if you wouldn't have a problem if we were married, would you?
I wouldn't have. No, ma'am, no, ma'am.
I've got a big butt. And yet, I eat more like Jerry. I eat very healthy. I eat lots of salads. I always have a tab. I guess you'd say I'm the stereotype, you know.
Yeah, so you're eating, you eat like I do. I eat a lot of salads, and I eat my diet soda. And but you still got a big rear end, huh?
I've got a big rear end. So that's why, I think it's genetics. Oh, Herb's shaking it. Honey, it's got to be genetics, honey. Okay, we're going to go. Jerry wants to say goodbye.
Hey, Bill, listen, do you ever get into the Baltimore, Maryland area at all?
Oh, no. I'm in D.C. occasionally.
Oh, you got to come see us because we will show you, get you out here and get you some of those Chesapeake oysters and everything. I think you'll love it so much, and we just get a hell of a kick out of listening to you, Phil. But just remember that. Fresh-cut broccoli, fresh-cut cauliflower, turnip soups, turnip stews, that's all I ever eat. And as a result, I feel good. I look good. People tell me I look like a fat ape. Just like that man was saying, the gentleman you had on talking about that football player being some kind of a running ape. People tell me I look like a damn ape, but I feel good and I look good.
Okay, Jerry, thanks so much. Thank you, Karen.
Oh. Goodbye, honey. Goodbye.
Oh, thank God.
What's wrong? She's a nice lady, you know.
Thank God.
Yeah, I like her. She's a very nice lady. And
yeah, she's got good energy.
Oh, good energy? She is the most motor mouth. And the woman's got nothing to say. Just...
You don't like her because she's got a lot of energy, and she's a very personable lady and a very nice lady. You know, I think with a person like that, what you see is what you get, you know?
Oh, well, that much is true. What you see is what she just did. And by the way, if what you see is what you want, maybe there's something you didn't see, which is the big ass that she just...
Well, I don't know. She said if she was on the panel, she'd talk all about her big ass. Okay, the only part of that that didn't make any sense to me was the fact that her brother-in-law there, Jerry, who eats fresh-cut broccoli and cauliflower and turnip soups and stews, and that's all he's ever eaten since he was 18, and he's still big and fat.
Yes. That's why I think, by the way, I was going to belch, and I thought better of it, because this is such a repressive and fascist environment that I'm afraid to be who I am.
Margaret, nobody's telling you can't be who you are.
Yes, you are.
No. I'm just asking to have a little bit, a modicum manners.
Why are your hands up in the air, Phil? You talk as if you're speaking to some aborigine. That's the word you were looking for. Aborigine?
Australia? Yes, yes. Yes, I was. As a matter of fact, you're right.
Yes, Yvonne Goolagong was an aboriginal. An aboriginal. And you know why they call them that? Because they are original.
Aboriginal, though.
Yeah, like the abnormal original.
No, that's not what that means, you jerk.
All right, so in any event, congratulations, Margaret. You're right. Karen's a motor mouth. Her brother-in-law is a big, fat slob. What do you want me to tell you, okay? I happen to like those guys, and we hadn't heard from them in a while, and I'm glad that they called in. And I don't know what it is, Jerry, with you and eating the fresh-cut broccoli, and you're still a big, fat slob of a guy. But, hey, some people are like... And I got to tell you something. I'm fortunate because... You know, some people have those big bones. They can lose all the weight in the world, and they still look big.
Oh, yes. I mean, they're just like they got the wide hips.
Yeah. I mean, poor folks. Some people put that weight on because it just is... It's with the bone structure they have, it's better, you know? It's better that they... I guess that they have that weight. I don't know what it is. And some people with those... You know, the old joke used to be... Well, she's big-boned with a great personality, and essentially what that meant was that she was sort of overweight, but hey, you know, don't worry about it because she's really a nice girl. Thank God I don't have, you know...
Well, what are you saying? People are big-boned or they're, like, weird-looking and stuff?
That's what Phil's trying to say, aren't you, Phil?
No, I'm not, but you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's people who have those big bones on them, or they have the wide hips, or they have...
Who's that guy that, that gay guy?
What gay guy?
What gay guy are you talking about?
You know, the guy's a wide guy.
Oh, that guy Larry Craig.
Yeah, Larry Craig. That guy, he bumped me.
That cat, I don't know who he thought he was kidding. I'm a wide guy and I bump? What is that about? Man, I've been to bathrooms my whole life. Public restrooms, public lavatories, men's rooms, from ball stadiums to hockey rinks to restaurants. I ain't never heard anybody say, you know, I bumped a guy by accident standing at the urinal. I mean, I just unless it's one of those really crap, but you're not going to talk about it. It's like, wow, I actually bumped a guy's foot.
Well, you're talking about just standing at one of those latrines, those filthy...
Yeah, we used to play like cigarette butt football.
Yeah, you'd play cigarette butt football.
Cigarette butt... What in the...
Oh, you know, yeah, that's right. Play it's called cigarette butt football. And what you do is you aim the...
All right, never mind what you do. I think you can figure it out. We'll be right back on a world-famous cigarette butt football. How well I remember. I was damn good at it. I'm kidding. We'll be right back here. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Look at Margaret's got to get up now.
Yes, I'm going...
Okay, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show and PhilHenryShow.com.
Woo!
Welcome back. World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Twitter soared 73% in stock market debut. Twitter shares soared Thursday as investors scramble to get a piece of what they hope be next block, but bet, bet, boop, bet, bet, bet.
Give me that. Read that like you... Twitter investors today.
I'll do it, Mark. Don't grab it out of my hands. I'm just being I'm being silly. And the reason why I'm being silly is that there is a line here that I think is funny. It says, investors scrambled to get a piece of what they hope will be the next blockbuster social media company after Facebook. What they hope will be the next... It is. It is. I don't know how many users there are on Twitter, but Twitter is every bit as influential and as significant in the culture today as Facebook. Don't even worry about it.
Well, why? No, I don't agree with you, because I don't hear people talking. Twitter doesn't have the brand. There, I moved away from the microphone. Is that all right?
Is this what we're going to be dealing with every night?
No, what are you doing?
I told you already.
Yeah, you told me it's a healthier thing to let a belch go, but I just...
Let me just continue, Phil. You're going to do a lot better if you just let these things happen so I can continue with my thinking, which is as follows. Facebook's brand is far more significant. The Facebook brand, think of it. A movie has been made about Facebook, hello? There's no movie about Twitter. No one is talking about Twitter as, what a great idea. It is a great idea, but Facebook led the way. Facebook led the way.
Facebook is losing, by the way, its teen users, or its pre-18, or whatever you want to call it, users. The 17, 18, and under crowd, they're not using Facebook as much. Now, there's some discussion as to why that is. Is it because, in other words, the numbers of teenagers using Facebook have dropped, and is that because the teens that were using it are now adults, and no new ones have come in? Or is it because teens suddenly just left, saying, it's too lame around here, there's too many guys Phil Henry's age, and there's too many old people, and...
Yeah, probably a lot of that, too, you know.
Well, I mean, I've seen some of those comments from younger users saying, you know, I don't want to be here anymore because it's like my mom is on Facebook, and I got to friend my mom, you know. And I guess I understand that. You know, the world of what was it? I heard this guy on TV the other day say, you know that cop that has the show?
Which cop?
The guy from Colorado Springs. What's that guy's name, Robert?
Oh, yeah, Joe Kenna.
Yeah, Lieutenant Kenna is a homicide detective.
Homicide hunter. That guy's great.
Yeah, well, he was saying in one of these episodes, he said, the one thing about teenagers, and he said this as it related to a crime, but he said the one thing about teenagers, no matter what, is their world is a world of secrecy. Their world is, when it comes to speaking to other kids their age, it's totally, totally between them. It's as down low as it gets. It's as, you know, just circumspect. Nobody's saying nothing. They don't even... And I remember this when I was a kid. One of the last things you were going to ever do is tell on a friend, you know. Now, fortunately, I never had to face any kind of moral dilemma like a friend of mine murdering somebody and, oh, God, what am I going to tell on the guy? But if somebody was in a house, using a house, drinking the booze, kind of teenager stuff, I wasn't about to go, you know, what are you looking at, Margaret?
Well, I hope that Jason J. Delmonico doesn't follow that lead, because when he's old enough to have parties at our house, and Frank and I are away on vacation, and someone knows something and doesn't say anything to me, I'll bring the pain. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, you sound like you're all Carlito's way and stuff.
Don't worry, I'll bring it. Because I will not have kids in our home using our bed and, oh, God. Well, what is funny about that?
Margaret, you always go to the same place. You go to the same place. You don't like all this lurid talk, but you go to the same place. Kids using your bed is, oh.
What did I say? Maybe they're drinking. I didn't say what they're doing in it.
Well, in any event, they do live in a world that is strictly theirs, and they don't want a bunch of adults sticking their noses in and finding out what they're doing. And I can understand, you know, I'm not trying to say, you know, I'm one of the kids, because I'm not, but I certainly understand if a kid says, I don't want to be on Facebook because my mom is on Facebook. How do you say no to your mother when she says, will you be from, you know, can I friend you, or, you know, friend request you or something like that?
Well, I don't know. You know, Jason J. Delmonico is on Facebook, and we are friends, and I share pictures with him, and I've also requested a lot of his friends, his little girlfriends, you know.
Yeah, but that's exactly what Phil's saying. It's embarrassed the hell out of him.
You got to be kidding me, Mark. You don't do that, do you?
What is wrong with that?
Margaret, don't you understand? You know, you're embarrassing him, friend requesting his friends?
You're asking to be a part of his little group of friends.
We share photographs. I don't know why that's so terrible. And I shared with them a lot of my favorite music, which was, in my day, the Turtles and the Beatles.
Oh, well, I'll bet they just dig that.
You are such a cynic. You know that?
Oh, come on, will you? Don't... Leave the kids alone, will you?
Oh, leave the kids alone. Let's leave the kids alone, and the next thing you know, you turn around, and they've murdered 6 people, gutted them, and stuffed them, and put them on display.
What are you talking about, man?
You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, let's leave the kids alone, and they'll be writing your name in your own blood on a refrigerator.
Oh, come on, man. You got the most paranoid view of teenagers. Unbelievable.
Do you ever think of, like, Grand Theft Auto?
No, I don't. I trust kids, believe me. But I'm not like Bobby Dooley, who's with it and all that stuff.
No, you're not like Bobby Dooley. Oh, God, you know, I've never asked her about that. I bet you she's just a pain in the ass to her sons, you know?
What do you mean?
I'll bet you she's, like, friend requesting and she's hanging with them because she's with it and she's now...
No, I'm not that bad, but Jason J. Delmonico, myself, and his little friends, we're all a little group, Phil. And
oh yeah, have you asked your son about that?
I don't need to ask my son. You know, I don't like where this is going.
You don't like where this is going because I'm getting into some areas that you may not like the answers.
Oh, so in other words, my blood will be on a wall or a refrigerator?
No, no, not what a ridiculous asinine statement. No, I'm saying, why don't you just back away from the little group of friends that he has and not be involved?
Because my son would say. You know what? I'm going to...
Oh, you look at you bawling. Are you nuts or something, Mark? You got to grow up about these things, man. Your son doesn't want you hanging out with him on Facebook. Face it.
How dare you say... Just get out to face the reality, Miss Gray.
Yeah, face it.
Oh, I hope, I swear to God, I hope they do open up a new wing in hell with a suite with your name on it.
Well, I mean, I kind of feel bad for him.
Well, you know what, man? Some adults have got to face the music. You're not one of the kids. Quit acting like it. And quit trying to be one of the gang. And quit trying to be friends with your kids' friends. Be your own age. Hang with your own people. Let kids be kids. And back off and quit bugging them. God. Talk about it. I mean, that would just creep me out, man. If my mom was... You know, it's one thing, and when I was a kid, I kept a journal because I wanted to be a writer. You know, I thought I was the next Jack London or something, and I had a journal. My mom would read it. It used to piss me off, man. Good thing I had a much stronger, you know, like fiber, much stronger moral fiber, or I would have been, you got it, Ed Kemper. Now then...
Oh, man!
I'm joking. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. What is this simpy stuff, bud?
It's Eddie Vedder.
Well, ain't that nice? Oh, he just sounds so sweet. Sorry, Eddie, I'm sure. It's a nice song. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. What I'm saying is I. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Truth is our bitch here every night till 10 o'clock on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast, and this is our radio show. For some of you, this is the very first time you're hearing the show. For others of you, this may be the third, fourth, fifth time. For others of you, this may be maybe you've been listening for a year or two. And some of you have been listening for a really long time. And those of you who have been listening for a really long time have heard the nature of this show, the approach of this show changing dramatically over the years. Much of that has to do with the changing nature of, this radio show and its relationship to the radio industry and what we're able to do and what we aren't able to do. Much of it has to do with my own personal desire to take the show in different directions. Much of it has to do with just a lot of stuff, you know, that...
That we can't talk about.
No, we can talk about it, but it's not exactly anything that's going to be all that interesting. It's just, but our radio show, nonetheless, is and fortunately, has a vault, has a repository, it has a place where it has been preserved, and so you can check it out. And I guarantee, when you do, you're going to hear radio shows you've never heard before in your life, funny, weird, you know, transcendent kind of radio. And it's there at the archives of philhenryshow.com. So, and it's something we're very proud of. So, you know, avail yourself of that, because these days, God knows, you know, what's going on, man.
Well, the tweet that you tweeted out.
Yeah, you tweeted it out, too.
Yeah, I saw you tweet something out.
What is it with tweet it out? Why don't you just say tweet?
Yeah, no, but saying tweet it out sounds like you don't get it.
What do you mean I don't get it? What don't I get? I understand Twitter. You tweet it. What do you, tweet it?
No, you tweet. Don't tweet it out.
Well, nonetheless, you said, and I'm quoting, and I won't use the word that you used because it was vulgar. You said...
God, Mark, you're all like, you said... You're like the squealer.
Squealer, is it? Do you know what it squeals? A pig. Is that what you...
Wait, he didn't call you a pig.
Watch it.
I didn't call you a pig, but you're squealing.
Don't use the word squeal in relation to me, because I think of something with a... with hooves and a curly tail. Nonetheless, you said that... talk radio is the only medium that takes truth and intelligent conversation and boils it all down to bull-s. Didn't you?
Yes, I did.
So you do admit it, Mr. Henry.
What's the big thing to admit? Yes, I said that. Absolutely, I said that. Talk radio takes intelligence, truth, and the perpetual and timeless journey to find truth. It takes all of that and basically distills it down to a cow turd. Absolutely.
Oh, my God. Well, I took the liberty of reporting that to Mr. Hall, not because I want you to get into trouble, but I'd love for you to try to defend that to a man that is out there every day trying to sell your product. And I think David is on the line.
Wait a minute, what? That's my job.
Well, I guess Margaret took the job away from you for a few seconds there, bud, to try to get me in trouble with David, huh?
No, not to get you in trouble. I want to hear you defend that statement. And David Hall joins us on our Newsmaker line.
And welcome to the Margaret Gray Show, David.
Oh, look, it's not the Margaret Gray Show. It is the Phil Henry Show, but she did alert me to the tweet that got tweeted out, or tweeted, however you say it.
It's called Twitter. It's been offered, by the way, today at $26 a share or for the last couple of days, and people are buying it up by the billions of dollars worth, so I think you ought to know what it's called, Twitter.
Well, excuse me, Phil, but I'm not hanging around CNBC or MSNBC or whatever these people you turn the TV on and they're hanging around with a bunch of guys screaming and yelling and jumping up and down. That's not me. I'm out doing real work, see? I'm out doing real work.
So the guys that work on the trading floor in New York...
No, they, you know what? I'm not saying they're not working. I'm just saying no one understands what those guys are doing. And to be honest with you, those are the guys that we ought to hang every time there is a financial panic in this country. We ought to hang it on those guys because they trade and buy and sell and do what they do, not based on anything other than the fact that maybe they woke up this morning with a hemorrhoid, maybe their wife cheated on them, maybe the dog died, maybe they, maybe they threw up blood this morning. It doesn't have anything to do with reality, okay? So I'm not hanging around looking at the stock prices on Twitter or whatever you call it. I'm out doing real work, okay?
Well, while you're out doing real work, let me just say to you that it's called Twitter, and you tweet... You tweet it, I forget now.
Yeah, you forget. Now, Margaret told me a tweet that you tweeted. You said that the truth, justice, and the American way is boiled down on talk radio to bullcrap?
No, I didn't say that at all, no.
Well, you said something like that.
Well, let's get the quote right. I said talk radio is the only place where you can take truth, the search for truth, reasonable conversation... it's the only place that will take all of that and turn it into bullcrap. Yes, I said that.
Wow. That hurts. I mean, I just want you to know it hurts. I'm not saying I'm going to do anything about it. There's nothing I can do about it. You don't work for me. We're partners, but that hurts. It hurts bad. And
Why does it hurt?
Why does it hurt? Because I go out and try to sell a show, and a guy's going to say to me, oh, by the way, this show you're trying to sell, I just heard the guy say that talk radio is a lump of warm cow dung. How do you feel about it now?
Why don't you say this to that guy? Why don't you say, well, Phil Henry, he doesn't do a regular talk show. He does a theatrical presentation, a parody of a talk show. He is, in essence, a humorist, a satirist, and that's what he does.
Yeah, and he's going to look at me like I just landed from the planet Venus. He doesn't get that. He doesn't understand that.
Well, you got to sell it, man. That's what you do, right?
What are you talking about? What am I selling?
Sell him on the idea that talk radio isn't just a bunch of jackasses talking about how much Obama screwed the country up or vice versa, how much the country's screwing him up. It can be a lot of things. Isn't there a thing called sports talk? Haven't I been hearing a little bit about that?
Yeah, now sports talk, a lot of people are doing that.
Yeah, a lot of stations are doing that. I don't know, you know, if they ever get into the business again of doing what people want, they may find that people want all kinds of stuff, you know. Sports talk, however, is not political talk. So we do know that there are other things on a radio besides how much Obama's messing the country up. Isn't that right?
Look, Phil,
Isn't that correct?
Yes, it's correct. You're sounding all... You just went, isn't that correct? I can hear your voice cracking and stuff. Take it easy. You know?
Yeah, it did crack a little bit, Phil.
Well, I don't care if it cracked a little bit. Okay, at the end of this show, I may be cracked all the way, you know, the way I'm feeling. I'm just saying, isn't that the case?
Yes, it's the case.
All right. And if you're a salesman, I mean, look, David, my father was a salesman.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. This will be good.
Oh, yeah.
What do you mean, here we go?
Here we go with my dad was a salesman. That's number two on the hit list of stuff that Phil says that makes me want to drive a railroad spike into my own neck. Go ahead.
No, forget it. I won't say anything.
No, it's okay. Your father was a salesman, and he always said that you can sell anything. It's a shoe shine and a smile. Look, Phil, I saw Death of a Salesman. I understand. But it's the low-hanging fruit.
Oh, and here we go with your pitch about the low-hanging fruit.
It is low-hanging fruit.
Why don't you do some work?
Wow.
Boy, Phil, that...
Wow.
Yep. Do some work for a change.
So you're saying to all the guys out there that are pitching radio...
Do some work. Do some work and quit hanging it on me or all the other people that are on the air. Quit hanging it on the economy. Quit hanging it on the fact that this and that and what the listeners want. You don't know what the listeners want. You haven't done any real valid... I know the kind of research you guys do. Hey, how do you like this music we're playing? Do you like the Cow Sills or do you like, Lil Wayne? The research that you guys do is all skewed toward what you want people to say, which is, I love iHeartRadio.
Whoa, hold on for a minute, pal. I don't do that, okay? We got a whole other app coming out that has to do with country music. I'm kidding, Phil. I'm joking around.
Yeah, so there you go.
Well.
No, not well, nothing. All right, we're going to take a break here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and be back with news about a typhoon. Yes, a typhoon that has hit the Philippines, 200-mile-per-hour winds. It seems very strange. It seems almost, I don't know what it seems. It seems like something that couldn't possibly happen, but then I remembered, oh, yeah, global warming. No, I'm joking. I shouldn't joke, but there are very high-speed winds accompanying this typhoon. We'll read about it and tell you about it. Coming up next, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. It is 1:17 in the afternoon on a Friday in the Philippines.
And you found that out how?
I found that out by looking at my little world clock here on my iPhone. And so, Friday afternoon, 1:17 in Manila. And that poor country, as of 4:40 Friday morning, and it is just now... Friday morning in the furthest eastern reaches of the United States. Although, I don't know what the furthest eastern reaches of the United States are, you know?
What are you talking about, man? It's going to be Maine.
Yeah, it's Maine's Atlantic time, or Eastern time, but isn't there an Atlantic time?
Yes, but Canada's on that. They have eastern provinces that are far further... They have eastern provinces that are further far...
That are far further out.
What is it with everybody around here? Can't speak English, okay?
Yeah, they're out there.
Okay, they're out there, fine. Doesn't America have anything that's we don't, huh?
No, we don't. We've got Hawaii. That's the other way.
Oh, you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking of our, like, the Virgin Islands.
No, that's not a state.
What a gloid.
I didn't think it was a state. I'm just asking if we... So, anywho, right now it is just Friday morning on the East Coast. So, in the Philippines, it has been Friday for quite some time. It has been Friday for 13 hours and 17 minutes. And that country was hit as of 4:40 Friday morning with a typhoon that has Category 5 winds. And those winds can blow as high as 200 miles an hour. Now, get a load of this, folks. This is going to blow you away. This is... What are you going to do, you know?
Well, Phil, this is the climate change that everyone's talking about.
Oh, get out of here. Will you stop? You know, I'm not doubting that there's climate change, okay? But the idea of hurricanes and typhoons being devastating, good Lord, when I was growing up, man, we had hurricanes and typhoons that were ripping towns apart, man. I mean, just slamming into the Gulf Coast, stories of Dora and...
Dora?
That was a hurricane, I think, that was, you know...
Yeah, that's like one. We're talking about like five or six a year.
There ain't five or six of these a year. Are you high on drugs or something, man? What are you talking about?
You're talking about Category 5?
Yeah, Category 5. There's not five or six.
Yeah, but they got hurricanes.
What about the fact they just have hurricanes?
Well, isn't that too bad? They have hurricanes. I know they have hurricanes. Hurricane season is the summer months on into... We're not talking about a hurricane. This is a typhoon.
What's the difference?
As a matter of fact, Bud, I was just looking that up. A typhoon is a mature tropical cyclone.
What's a cyclone?
Well, a cyclone... I don't know what a cyclone is. I'm trying to get to typhoon. Do you mind? And then we'll get to cyclone, and then we can bring it all back to hurricane. And if we're lucky, we'll get that in before the end of the show. A typhoon is a mature tropical cyclone. I guess if I was doing one of those cheese jokes, I'd have it making crude humor and, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, a typhoon is a...
As opposed to an immature?
Yeah, a typhoon is a mature tropical cyclone that develops in the western part of the Pacific Ocean. Aha! So it comes from the western part of the Pacific Ocean. Okay?
Yeah, all right. So that means that's what a typhoon is. Now, what's a cyclone?
Well, a cyclone, a tropical cyclone, is a rapidly rotating storm system characterized by a low-pressure center, strong winds, and a spiral arrangement of thunderstorms that produce heavy rain. Tropical cyclones typically form over large bodies of relatively warm water. They derive their energy from the evaporation of water from the ocean surface, which ultimately recondenses into clouds and rain when moist air rises and cools to saturation. Now then, the energy source, I mean, this is just what I'm reading from Wikipedia.
And you said Wikipedia's full of crap.
Wikipedia's getting better. I will give them that. Because, see, this is all annotated. This is all footnoted. This is all certified. It's a beautiful thing, man. That's the only problem I got with Wikipedia, that anybody has Wikipedia, man. Half the stuff is bullcrap. But at least now they're pretty consistent in pointing out what is bullcrap and what ain't. Tropical cyclones are typically between 100 and 4,000 kilometers, 62 to 2,500 miles in diameter. Good Lord. The term tropical refers to the geographic origin of these systems, which usually form over the tropical oceans. The term cyclone refers to their cyclonic nature, with wind blowing counterclockwise in the northern hemisphere and clockwise in the southern hemisphere. The opposite direction of circulation is due to some force that I'm not going to get into. Depending on its location and strength, a tropical cyclone is referred to by names such as hurricane, typhoon, tropical storm, cyclonic storm, tropical depression, and simply cyclone. So a cyclone is a hurricane. But it can be anything. It can be a hurricane, it can be a typhoon, it can be a tropical storm. But the cyclone itself is this cyclonic nature of the... What, Bud?
What's cyclonic?
That's the one-eyed guy, right?
No, not the one-eyed guy. Are you nuts or something?
What one-eyed guy?
The cyclon.
The cyclops is a one-eyed guy. This is a cyclone, Robbie. You know we're talking about a weather system?
Yeah, that's why I don't understand you talking about cyclops.
We ain't talking about a cyclops. We're talking about a cyclone. The cyclops? Where did you get that from a weather system, man?
You're the ones talking about it.
Anyway, a cyclone is that thing that we see on the news with the spinning, you know, and...
The eye of the hurricane and all that?
Yes, that's a hurricane. It's also a cyclone. It's also a tropical storm. It's also a tropical depression. It's a lot of different things. But the overarching name for all of that is cyclone, which I didn't know. Now, it ain't... Yes, it could be a typhoon. I take that back. Cyclone is also a typhoon. So listen to this. Depending on its location and strength, a tropical cyclone is referred to by names such as hurricane, typhoon. And why is it called... Why is this thing called a typhoon, bud?
That ain't the Cyclops.
Wow.
You know something? You'd do better just firing these guys.
What?
That ain't the Cyclops, huh? I said typhoon.
Yeah, well, you were talking about the cyclone.
Yeah, there you go. I was talking about a cyclone. Where was it formed? Western Pacific. That's what I just got done reading you. So if it is a storm originating in the Western Pacific, which is exactly where the Philippines are located, that's called a typhoon, baby. A typhoon.
Now, what is a patroon?
A patroon?
Well, you were reading that in the book on the... You know, Phil, not everybody is a brain surgeon like you. What's a patroon?
A patroon is some guy that lives in New York.
What's a patroon? Well, you're the guy who's talking about cyclone and everything.
I didn't say cyclone.
You said you were reading the book by... Joseph Plum Martin.
Wait a minute, Margaret. You just went, you said.
Yes, so what?
You guys are always pointing out when my voice cracks. A patroon is some cat that, I don't know who, it's some kind of a guy, one of the founders of New York State, a patroon. It's a, I don't know whether he's landed gentry. I don't know if he is British that came to New York State. I don't know what it is, man, but it's somebody who I do know was referred to in the early history of our country, in the colonial history of our country, as being a resident or one of the founding community members of upstate New York. And that's about all I know from that.
Well, then what?
Margaret, just because it has two O's in it, man, doesn't mean that it's got something to do with weather.
Yeah, I'm going to write that down, Mr. Henry. That's good.
Yeah. You got to tweet it out.
Is that right? You being a smartass?
No, no, sir, I'm not. I swear to God.
Because if you are...
No, I swear to God I'm not being...
Ought to tweet it out, huh? So if it has two O's, it doesn't necessarily mean it has anything to do with weather.
Yes, it could have to do with some guy that lives,
in upstate New York. That's what a patroon is. Now, you can look that one up. I ain't going to do it. I mean, we have a break coming up, so maybe I ought to. What we were going to do is talk about this weather. So now you know what a cyclone is and a hurricane and all that stuff, and it ain't a cyclops, and it ain't a patroon. The typhoon landed at 4:40 local time. It's called locally Yolanda. That is the name of the typhoon, although the forecasters have called it Haiyan. It's the strongest tropical cyclone this year, the equivalent of a Category 5. Now, get a load of this. Maybe I ought to hold off on this news until we come back from the break. It's the strongest to make landfall since Typhoon Ruth slammed into northern Luzon with sustained winds of 250 miles an hour. These winds are gusting, ladies and gentlemen. They're at... 235 kilometers an hour, which is 146 miles per hour. Now, listen to this. The gusts are up to 270 kilometers per hour, and Typhoon Ruth was 285. So this sucker is, and those winds are 146 miles an hour. Who said 200 miles an hour?
You did, because you was looking at the kilometers.
The kilometers, huh? Okay.
Well, Phil, you've got all kinds of patroon, cyclone, or whatever that's called.
Cyclone. I didn't say cyclone. And, okay, look, we'll be back and we'll figure out what a patroon is. How about that, okay?
What's an octoroon? I'm only kidding. Shut up, man.
Yeah, that's racist, bud. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. You guys are stupid. That's your only problem. Otherwise, you're fantastic. I love you.
Thank you, Mr. Henry.
Good to you. Just some elf music for you.
Thank you. I like this.
Hey, welcome back to the world famous Phil Henry Show. Okay, you got it?
Well, I think it's...
Anyway, a patroon. You know, this all started when I read that whole book about... when I read that whole book about the revolution, that Joseph Plum Martin guy... And, you know, we have a show on Phil TV and HD. Well, we had a show last Saturday, which was what we called our Saturday bonus show, and it was basically me just doing shots of tequila, drinking Utica Club beer, and talking about history, which was inspired by the show Drunk History, which I'm not trying to emulate at all. I mean, that show's brilliant.
Yeah, real brilliant. A bunch of guys sit around, suck down hooch. Oh, God.
You don't know. You have no idea. You know what that show does? That show introduces people to topics and historical events that they never would otherwise be interested in. So I think it's fantastic. Now, it would take a real mental midget to look at that show and listen to some drunk swill coming out of a guy's mouth and think, oh, that guy's got it down, man. It's supposed to inspire you to go and do more reading on it. Now, the whole thing with this Patroon thing is I was reading that book by Joseph Plum Martin, that's all.
Well, what the hell is a patroon, Phil? You just had Bud say, what's an octoroon, and Robert got pissed off.
Well, that's because that's a racial thing. A patroon was an original holder of the rights to land of the Dutch. So he was one of the Dutch people.
Oh.
What do you mean Dutch?
The Dutch, Jack, the Dutch. You know them from the Netherlands?
Yeah, the ones with the wooden shoes?
Yeah, the ones with the wooden shoes.
They came over here.
You're damn right they came over. They were here before the British, man. They were in New York before the British. They had... That was theirs, man, New York.
With a wooden shoe?
Look at, man, I don't know what they wore. If they wore wooden shoes, they didn't wear wooden shoes. I don't even know if they wore wooden shoes. I think that's a bunch of, you know...
Well, the same ones all on the paint.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, the paint guy.
Yeah, that's it, bud. There you go, the paint guy, right. The kid on the can. Those are those people?
Yeah.
They were patroons. They came over...
Well, that they...
Why don't you just can it, man, okay, so I can get this out before I strangle both you and Robert together using only two hands?
Wow.
That's right. So the Dutch come over here, and they are patroons. They're the original landholders. They had these huge estates in New York State. They had enormous what they called manorial rights, rights to the manor, that the Dutch government gave to them. And there was all kinds of Dutch names, all kinds of Dutch... estates, which is what the British eventually called them. These large... there was a Dutch word for it, and it's some big, long Dutch word.
Well, here it is here. It's called the... oh, I'm sorry. No, I had it. It's called a Resselblakkesawabata. Resselsalaba?
A what?
It's New Netherland, right?
Yeah, New Netherland was New York State. Was the manor of... Rensselwick.
That, like, Russell Stiltskin?
Yeah, what about him?
Who's Russell Stiltskin? You guys aren't talking about Rumpelstiltskin, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You know, I'm going to go, and speaking of Dutch, there's a Dutch Masters with my name on it out in my car.
Go ahead.
Why
don't you guys just can it, and let me just explain. Russell Stiltskin. Wow. This was just a Dutch thing where they gave all of these people with bread a big, you know, oh, you have, you're over there with in America? Yeah, okay, well, we'll let you have that land. You know, you had to pay for it. Nobody was just giving it away. But this is why these rich guys got it, and they got a hold of this. And these were the patroons, the original large estate holders in New York State. Now, what happened when the British took over, the British... took away those rights from the Dutch, and that made the Dutch pro-independence. So the original Dutch and their descendants joined the side of revolution, saying, you know, these British stink, we want to get our land rights back. And of course the independence-minded, the other colonists were saying, hey, you know, all for one for all. We went, we kicked the British out, and guess what happened? The Dutch didn't get their land back. It was kind of... It wasn't a backstab, because I don't really know what they were promised, but I got money that says they were probably promised that they could keep their land. And then after a while, things got messed up, man. You know?
You talk about that guy.
You know, the one thing about that Joseph Plum Martin book that I read that is really true and that everybody should remember, and it's the following. He, at the end of the book... listed his grievances. He was speaking as an original soldier of the Revolution, which is what he was, and he was a man in his 70s when he wrote his narrative. And his grievances were all about how the soldiers had been screwed over. They were not given what they had been promised. They were not given land. They were not given money. They were many of them so grievously wounded, should have been taken care of. And this big long list, and he was writing this as of the early 19th century. So even then, Joseph Plum Martin was saying, look at everything that we did, and I want to be on the record to tell you that we got screwed. Now, I think, to be honest with you, and I think we would all agree, this has sort of been America's track record with our veterans, man, from the very first bloody war, you know, all the way on up. Now, we're getting better. We're trying to be better about it. We're trying to take care of our vets. Veteran awareness and the issues around veterans has never been higher, I don't think, in this country. But it has been a constant from the beginning, and maybe that's just the way people are in countries, people that don't have to fight these wars. We equip these men and women, we send them over, they do the job, and in our case, they do it successfully 99.999% of the time. And
Well, what the one time they didn't do it successfully?
Well, yeah, you're right. I shouldn't even have said 99. I think they always did it successfully.
Yeah, except for Vietnam. We got our ass kicked.
We never got our ass kicked. We got politically outmaneuvered in Vietnam. That's what happened there. Anyway, and maybe we never would have won that war. I don't know. But it wouldn't have been because we couldn't kick ass. It would have had to do with, there was a lot of politics happening back then, man, that we just couldn't get around. So, but the whole thing that I'm trying to say to you is, this is a veteran speaking from down through time, and his voice is echoing all the way to present day, and he's saying, I was very proud, and he was very, very clear on this. He said, I was very proud to fight for my country, as he called it. He says, I was proud to fight for my country. I was glad that I was in that fight, and I would do it again. He said, but we were not treated well at the end of that war. And he has this very rather benign and almost, it's very endearing to tell you. It tells you a lot about the man, but it's also rather benign. He says that like a husband whose wife has been a wayward wife, a woman who's, you know, been out with other men, I look at my country the same way. I forgive her and hope she'll do better in the future.
Are you kidding? This poor man said that?
Yeah.
That's how they dealt with women that... Oh.
I thought they took women and put them in and made their heads go through the wood thing.
Yeah.
Made their heads go through the wood thing. What's that?
You know, they put them up there on the...
Oh, the stock.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I mean, they didn't do that with wives that were wayward.
That's what I thought they did, because they was witches.
No, you knucklehead. That's before America.
That's back when the British were still running things over here, and they had witches in Massachusetts. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, and they put their head in a wood thing.
Okay, I got it with the wood thing, man. They didn't do that to wives that were unfaithful to husbands. They just, you know, the husband could kick their ass out, man. I don't know. But anyway, that's what he said about America.
Dude talk about America like screwing around on him?
No, he wasn't saying that America was screwing around on him. He was comparing America to a wife. You know what I'm talking about.
Don't get into it with these guys.
You understand what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
All right. So that's that, and that's what a patroon is, and that's America, that's the history lesson. Oh, by the way, I have that book, Zealot, for those of you who are watching Phil TV in HD, here it is. It's pretty good, man, and I don't want to get into a whole big thing. I don't want people to get pissed off at me and think that I'm anti-Christian. I ain't. Believe me, I'm not. I love history, and this is a guy who has taken the story of Jesus Christ, or the story of Jesus, and he's trying to apply the history of the times to see, well, okay, if this was going on back then what was, you know, what would his life have been conceivably like? And then the other book I got here is The Seven States of California, which nobody wants to know anything about, and I'm just kind of mumbling.
Well, don't mumble, Phil. What is that about?
It's a bunch of California crap that you don't want to know anything about, believe me. Okay. Obama says, I'm sorry, Americans are losing their insurance under the health care law, but... I never said, you know, that illegal health insurance was something that the law would support. By definition, of course, it won't. If the insurance policy that you currently have is against the law, does not meet the requirements of the law. See, you have to... I get people... there's a health care law that got passed. You got to understand what the law says, and the law says that there are certain things that at one time may have been legal, but they aren't anymore. For instance, if you have a health insurance policy that says it will not cover thus and so if it was pre-existing, if you're a woman, you have to pay more. If you have a health insurance policy like that and you say with a straight face, yeah, I want to keep that one. See, nobody anticipated that a guy would say that, you know?
Well, but wait a minute, Phil. The people that are losing their coverage, that's the important thing to
No, I know the people that are losing their coverage, but understand, they're losing... What coverage are you losing when you have an insurance policy that charges you more because you're a female, does not cover pre-existing conditions, does not cover certain forms of surgery, certain kinds of hospitalization? What are you losing when all of that stuff is now prohibited by law? Prohibited by law. You can't charge women more money for health insurance than you can charge a man. You must cover even a pre-existing condition. So what are we talking about here? You want to hold on to that?
Well, maybe it's more affordable.
Maybe it's more affordable than what? Have you even gone out and shopped? Do you even know? I'm telling you, every single solitary person that I've talked to that likes to come up to me and say, hey, man, I just found this new Obamacare, and it's more expensive. Why, I saw a... That guy went online, saw a plan... Saw the price. Now, as far as he's concerned, that's locked in stone. That's got to be the price, man. Well, did you shop around? The whole idea of an exchange is that it is a brokerage. In other words, there are a lot of different companies that may be vying for your business, okay?
Well, yeah, I looked at a few.
You didn't look at Jack's Diddley, you know?
Jack's Diddley. Wonder if Jack's Diddley's covered.
Probably not. All right, we'll take a break. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And don't forget that coming up on Sunday, are we going to have a ball game or not? I heard different things from different people. I heard that perhaps not. Perhaps the guys are taking a weekend off. We'll just wait and see. Don't forget the end of January, the San Francisco Sketch Fest. Yours truly will be there on the 26th. And we have a forthcoming appearance on Drunk History on Comedy Central. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, and I'm not going to make garbage out of this. I ain't going to talk about this, you know, but just, like, sometimes I want to because it seems pretty obvious.
Well, look, Phil, even I, as an Obama supporter, he butchered this six ways to sunset.
Oh, yeah, now you're looking to bail out.
I'm not looking to bail. Hold on for a minute. You know, I'm sorry, but I do belch, and it's not...
Yeah, I didn't say anything.
Anyway... I'm an Obama fan, but he carved this a new ass. Excuse my language, ladies and gentlemen. I ordinarily would never, ever engage in that kind of language. But President Obama, and I voted for him and support him, but he carved this one up and left it in the road to die.
What did he carve up?
The whole rollout of this rollout stinks to high heaven. He didn't roll this out. He ran it over with a car, and he left it there to rot. And now, and I really resent what you said about Sebelius, that she should be fired.
She ought to be fired. That's the one that... They ought to can her ass. They ought to can her ass. Wasn't that her job, to make sure that this thing was going to roll out? Because what people are talking about... Look, at all the political opponents of this thing, they want to say that the health care law doesn't work. That's what we're not talking about that. What we're talking about here is that the... platform that they use to roll this thing out, that is the website sucks, and the information given the American people was not entirely, it wasn't accurate, it wasn't 100%.
Well, no wonder people think that Obama's a liar. I'm here, I don't think he's a liar, but I'm here to tell you, he did not get the right information, and instead what he gave the American people, he promised sirloin steak, and he's delivered cat food from a cat that got hit by a car.
Oh, would you knock it off with the roadkill already?
God, man. Good thing the health care ain't something I want to eat.
Well, you know who's going to eat it? The taxpayers are going to eat it. It will be something you eat, Dickman. You'll eat it and you'll like it. You'll eat it with a big crap-eating grin on your face.
God, what is with you?
Phil, I'm telling you, as the man said, it's a big crap sandwich. And we all got to take a bite. And this rollout... by this guy, Obama, who I voted for, but I never liked him.
Oh, get out of here. Don't start with this stuff now.
Well, Frank will tell you.
Yeah, Frank will tell me. Frank Gray's on the line here, by the way, with us tonight. He's at Nate and Al's, actually. Ordinarily, I think Frank is at Ted's of Beverly Hills. Frank is with us at Nate and Al's this evening in Beverly Hills, California. Frank, how you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm better than Custer, young man.
Hey, Frank, you've been listening to our discussion here on health care. You're an Obama supporter.
I support her.
All right. What do you think?
I have to agree with my wife. I think he said it. Obama did not give all the information that the American people required, and as such, everyone's calling her a liar now. I watched this guy, and let me tell you, I got no love for this guy Hannity, but she was on her show today talking about how the president is a liar. You know, the only liar is Sean Hannity. She's been lying ever since she got that gig, and just because she's a handsome man and all of the women love her, doesn't mean that she has the right to get onto the show.
Can you hold on for a minute, Frank?
Yeah, okay. Here we go again.
Oh, no, darling. There's a technical thing.
Yeah, sure.
I got to tell the audience. Put him on hold. Frank Gray suffers from gender confusion, so when he says she, he means he. When he says he, he means she.
Unless he's talking about someone that's gay.
Right. If he's talking about a gay person, then the gender will be correct. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, Frank, we got it fixed. I was having a problem with my headphones.
Look, I know that there's something that you people are hiding from me. I don't know what it is, but I can tell you, you didn't have busted headphones. Margaret, I'm watching Phil TV, and I'm looking at him, and he's got the rolled eye look.
I don't have any rolled eyes, Frank. Phil was having a technical problem.
All right, well, whatever, but she didn't sound like she was having a technical problem. You were just rolling the eyeballs and everything.
All right, let's just get back to this discussion. So you're a big supporter of Obama's, just as Margaret is, and you feel that this was improperly handled, not just from the standpoint of the infrastructure of the launch, the website, but also information.
Oh, there's no question. She should have said that you can keep your insurance if it meets the legal standard. That's all she had to say, but she didn't say that. And I think the reason she didn't say that is she got caught up with all of the attacks that were coming from a Tea Party, whether it was this Paul Ryan, and I don't think one word of truth has ever come out of Paul Ryan's kisser in the years that she's been in Congress. And can you imagine that we almost had her as the vice president? And then, of course, anybody that you want to talk about, Bachman in Minnesota, he was lying through his teeth. The other one, and the other one, and the other one, Boehner, she is, for Boehner to call herself a man is I thought Boehner was a man. I thought she was a hell of a man. But she's proven to be nothing more than a woman. And
all right, but rather than calling people names...
All right, I don't want to call anybody names, but I'm just telling you that it has been a disappointing thing from the standpoint of information. And again, the president screwed up when the president didn't give all the information. She should have said, you can keep your insurance if it meets the legal requirements. That's all she had to say. And that's all anybody needed to advise her to say. What about this Sebelius? Okay, what's he doing? Sitting there with his thumb parked up as you-know-what? This Sebelius, I agree with Phil. I think he's been a disaster. And Obama, putting a woman in that office, I think was a forward-thinking, forward-moving, everything that moves forward, it was. And we come to find out that this woman, supposedly intelligent woman, he doesn't know what he's doing. That's all I've got to say.
Okay, thank you very much, Frank.
Uh-huh.
What's wrong?
Every time I hear that guy talk, it just throws me off, you know?
Yeah, I don't even remember what he said.
I don't either. I mean, I do remember that he said that he was an Obama supporter.
Yes, all you have to do is remember that when he says he means she.
I know, but he always locks out with, and that's Sebelius, he is a hell of a woman. He always locks out with something that throws me off. Anyway, that's the show for tonight, folks. I'm so grateful that you were with us. You just wouldn't believe how much we do appreciate you. Go to our website, philhenryshow.com. Right after the show, we'll have a show log from the show. We'll have our podcast from the show tonight posted tomorrow. We'll have our classic podcast up for you from the archives. Bobby Dooley will have another podcast, I'm sure, of just marvelousness. It's all there at philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. And I think this weekend, Bud, you're gonna get with Steve.
Yeah, we'll find out if we got a game or not.
We may have a game of the week on Sunday as well. I think they have a bye week owed them. Phil Henry Show.
Travel in the shadows and deliver found the nerve to try and walk up to you.
Is this the Smithers?
Yeah.